Well, good morning. I'd invite you to open up your Bibles to Judges chapter 7. Judges chapter 7. Sorry to say that this morning you have the third string preaching for you. But it is a pleasure to bring God's word to you this morning. And we do give thanks for little Piper and her being safely delivered into the world. This book of Judges, though, is just another chapter in the redemptive history of God's people. God saving his people from their sins. And despite their unfaithfulness, God remains faithful to them and to us. See, Judges points us to the Lord Jesus Christ, who became weak to show the power of God for the salvation of his people. So with that in mind, let's turn our attention to Judges chapter 7. I'll be reading the entire chapter. Please follow along with me. God's holy word. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the spring of Herod. And the camp of Midian was north of them, by the hill of Morah, in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, "The people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel boast over me, saying, 'My own hand has saved me.' Now there proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, 'Whoever is fearful and trembling, let him return home and hurry away from Mount Gilead.' Then 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. And the Lord said to Gideon, 'The people are still too many. Take them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. And in anyone of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, shall go with you. And anyone who I say to you, this one shall not go with you, shall not go.' So he brought the people down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, 'Everyone who laps the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, you shall set him by himself. Likewise, everyone who kneels down to drink, the number of who lapped, putting their hands to their mouth, to the water.' And the Lord said to Gideon, 'With the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hand. And let all the others go, every man to his home.' So the people took provisions in their hands and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent. But he retained the 300 men, and the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. That same night, the Lord said to him, 'Rise, go down against the camp, for I have given it into your hand. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purah, your servant, and you shall hear what they say. And afterward, your hands shall be strengthened to go down against the camp.' Then he went down with Purah, his servant, to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the people of the east lay along the valley like locusts in abundance, and their camels were without number, as the sand that is on the seashore in abundance. When Gideon came, behold, a man was telling a dream to his comrade. And he said, 'Behold, I dreamed a dream. And behold, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the camp of the Midian and came to the tent and struck it so that it fell and turned upside down, so that the tent lay flat.' And the comrade answered, 'This is no other than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. God has given into his hand Midian and all the camp.' As soon as Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, he worshipped. And he returned to the camp of Israel and said, 'Arise, for the Lord has given the host of Midian into your hand.' And he divided the 300 men into three companies and put trumpets into their hands, and all of them, and empty jars with torches inside the jars. And he said to them, "Look at me and do likewise. When I come to the outskirts of the camp, do as I do. And when I blow a trumpet, I and all who are with me, then blow the trumpets also on every side of all the camp and shout for the Lord and for Gideon." So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outskirts of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch. When they had just set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and smashed the jars that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the jars. They held in their left hands the torches, and in their right hands the trumpets to blow. And they cried out, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." Everyone's man stood in his place around the camp, and all the army ran. They cried out and fled. They blew the 300 trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his comrade and against all the army. And the army fled as far as Beth Shittah and toward Zerah, as far as the border of Ebal Meholah, as Tabitha. And the men of Israel were called out from Naphtali and from Asher and from all Manasseh, and they pursued Midian. And Gideon sent messengers throughout the hill country of Ephraim, saying, "Come down against Midian and capture the waters against them as far as Beth-Berah and also the Jordan." So all the men of Ephraim were called out, and they captured the waters of Beth-Berah and also the Jordan. And they captured the two princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeeb. And they killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb, and Zeeb they killed at the winepress of Zeba. Then they pursued Midian, and they brought back the heads of Oreb and Zeeb to Gideon across the Jordan. This is the reading of God's word. Let's pray and ask God's blessing on it. Father, having read your word, having heard about your redemption of the people of Israel, remind us of the redemption we have in you. Remind us of our weakness, where you're made strong. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, all the world is watching right now the Olympics, I think, looking at all the exploits and how people have been made strong and how they show off that strength in competition. See, as a culture, we praise strength and capability. And as we look at history, we see, if you remember the story of the 300 Spartans, how they held off the Persian army in the 5th century B.C. These Spartans were raised from their youth to win battles, and how they repelled this superior army of the Persians. It's an amazing feat in human history. But here, in contrast, we have Gideon's 300. They weren't chosen because of their strength. They're simply chosen by the way they drank water, how they lapped water like dogs. See, God here is using these 300 weak people to show his great power. Hebrews reminds us of the judges, of the prophets of old, and how they had great faith. The writer of Hebrews says this, "And what more can I say? For time would fail me to tell about Gideon and Barak, Samson and Japheth, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, to put foreign armies to flight." All this was part of the promise, how God would use people, and ultimately the Lord Jesus Christ, to save his people from their sins. This is an amazing feat in the covenantal history, in the redemptive history of God's people, where the Lord was faithful to his promises to save his people from their sins, to save you and I from our sins. So in this passage, I want to highlight how the Lord shows his strength in our weakness, He shows His strength in our weakness, not just individually. I want you to think not just individually, but collectively as the church of Jesus Christ. So let's look at verses 1 through 8, where we first must realize that you're weak. Realize your weakness. No matter how strong you think you are, the truth is that you're weak. It's not just a perceived weakness, but it's a real weakness. So let's look at the life of Gideon, how God reveals his weakness. If you remember in chapter 6, preached on a few weeks ago in the evening, like most of the judges, Gideon isn't really your prototypical savior. He's not a mighty man. He's not who you would likely choose to deliver the people of Israel. For 7 years running, the Midianite armies would come in and take away the crops during the harvest in Israel. So where was Gideon? Was he out there battling the Midianites with the sword? Nope. He was hiding in the winepress, treading out his grain when the Lord called him to service. But then next, the Lord asked him to tear down the altars of Baal for his family and for the city. And what did he do? He waited till the night under the cover of darkness, not to be exposed, to tear down the altar, to avoid detection. Then after giving the clear word of the Lord to go out to battle, out to war, he tested the Lord not just once, but twice with the fleece. Wet fleece, wet ground, dry fleece. And here's our hero, Gideon, weak man. Now here in this part of the story, we have Gideon amassing this army. It's a pretty large army, 32,000 soldiers. But it's nothing in comparison to this allied Midianite army, totaling over 100,000. Israel is greatly outnumbered. And what does the Lord do? Did the Lord want some crack troops? Maybe Army Rangers? Or the few, the proud, the Marines? No. That's not what the Lord was concerned about. He said, you have too many people. It's about numbers. And why? Look at verse 2 again. The Lord said to Gideon, the people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel boast over me, saying, my own hand has saved me. The Lord was concerned about the numbers. He knew the pride and the arrogance and the stubbornness of people's hearts. He knew that if the people were to deliver themselves, how they take tribute that victory to their own strength, how they overcame such numbers. No, if victory was going to happen, it wasn't going to be because of their own strength, but solely on the Lord and His strength. You see, the battle really wasn't with Midian. You remember why Midian was raised up. The Midianites were raised up to oppress the people. It was because of their own hearts. The people of God had gone away from the Lord. They worshipped other gods. They were not serving the Lord alone. It was because of their unbelief. And the Lord used this instrument, the Midianite people, to bring oppression on Israel, to discipline them. The only hope, the only remedy to your oppression, it's not you. You cannot save yourself by your own strength. It is only the Lord who saves. So after reducing the numbers by 2/3, what does the Lord do next? He reduces them even more. The Lord says, send the scaredy cats home in verse 3. If you're fearful, go home. And this is in keeping with the law of God, as we see in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 7 and 8. He said, if there's any man who has betrothed a wife and has not taken her, let him go back home, lest he die in battle and another man take her. And then goes on. And the officers shall speak further to the people, saying, is there any man who is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go back to his house. lest he make the heart of his fellows melt like his own. So winning attitude is contagious. If you've been on a winning team, it's very contagious, but also a losing attitude as well. It's contagious. Sometimes as I was coaching kids, you kind of tell, they look at the enemy, they look at the other team, and they see how big and strong they are, and saying, we're just going to lose. Really setting themselves up for failure. And often that leads to a lack of effort. So here, after a reduction of 60% of his force, now as a first sergeant in the army, if I lost 60% of my force, I'd get fired. But this number was not small enough. The Lord says, go down to the river. I'm going to reduce your numbers even more. And this army was separated out by the way they drank. Only 300 remained. A 99% reduction in force. Gideon, Israel, you still think you're strong? Still think you're able to deliver yourself? Church, think because we have a lot of people in the auditorium this morning that we're strong, we could do things on our own? No. We need the Lord. One thing that people often ask me about the army or ask me about myself, how many push-ups can you do? Well, one thing I learned in the army is I learned how to do push-ups. But what I found out quickly is if you can do 50 and I can do 60, at 500, we're both feeling horrible. We're both beyond our capabilities. We're taken to the brink of our own strength, the end of our physical strength. And I think the Lord is taking Gideon and the Israelites down a similar path. You want to trust your own ways? You want to do things your own way? You have no hope. You will fail, and you have failed. I think one of the things we have to watch out as a congregation. So we might think, look at what we've done. Look what we have done. Look how God has blessed us. We can have a haughty attitude. Look what we can do. We become self-reliant. People of God, the Lord may very well reduce our resources to prove that it's only by His power that you're saved and you're sustained in the ministry, is going out and proclaiming the gospel to all the world. Paul understood this weakness and the purpose of his weakness. He said in 2 Corinthians, "So to keep me from becoming conceited, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And he goes on to say, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." Boasting in your weakness. Because in your weakness, the Lord shows His strength. He is glorified and He is lifted up. Most of all, in what He has done for us in Lord Jesus Christ. He must increase. And you and I, we must decrease. May the Lord help us identify with Gideon, driving us to our knees, seeking the Lord, asking Him to help us in what He's called us to do, equipping us by faith with strength, using weak vessels like you and me. So having realized your weakness, where do you find your confidence? Where do you find your mission? Well, you find it in the Word of the living God. So you got weakness, and now you have the Word. Verses 9 through 14. Put your confidence in the Word. Come to the Lord and say, I don't know what to do. I have no idea. I don't have the strength. I need your promises. I need your encouragement. And listen to what the Lord has to say. See, Gideon was afraid. He was afraid to go down. 300 versus a swarm of locusts. But God is gracious. He says, but if you are afraid, go down. Go down to the camp with Pharaoh, your servant, and you shall hear what they say. And afterward, your hands shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. See, in that moment, the Lord renewed his promise to Gideon and to his people. See, despite your failures, despite your weakness, the future is bright. Victory is yours. And in his kindness, the Lord orchestrates Gideon being able to hear this conversation between two soldiers. He not only hears the dream, but he hears the interpretation of the dream about this loaf of bread coming down and overturning a tent. How the Lord would deliver, how the people of Midian believed that the Lord would deliver them over to the hand of Gideon and to his God. See, God is working everything for good. Faith is not built on feelings, on your circumstances. Faith is built on the unchanging Word of God. Your faith is built on the unchanging Word of God. We need to go there and find His promises. You have the full prophetic Word of God and has been fully confirmed in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are yes and amen in Jesus. And this morning, God's promises are so innumerable that we can't go over every one of them. But I want you to hear these two promises, these two commands followed by promises. One, repent and believe the gospel and the promises you will be saved. If you're here this morning and you have not seen, felt, experienced the saving work of Jesus Christ, He says, repent, turn from your ways, confess your sins to God, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, what He did on the cross, and His raising from the dead in victory. And the promise is, you will be saved. But the second promise is found in our Great Commission. Go into all the world. Make disciples of all the nations. The command, the promise, I will be with you. God promises to be with us through His Spirit. In the promise, claimed by faith and through obedience. If your personal reasoning or your experiences or your measure for truth, you're effectively limiting God. Not that God cannot do what He wants. Rather, you're limiting your understanding of who God is. And you're moving forward in faith. You may be thinking, I will never conquer this sin. The sin that so easily entangles. The people I talk with will never believe. This world will never change. It's too wicked. Do you believe in the strength of God, the one who created the world, the one who defeated sin and death, the one who changes empires? Do you believe in Christ, in the Spirit which He sent to us, that He will go with us wherever we go? See, doubt suffocates faith. God is sovereign in His providence. And He's working out His sovereign plan through all time, even though it may be unseen. So what's going on in the world? Why am I struggling with sin? Why is life so hard? Why am I being tested this way? Draw your encouragement, people of God, in the Scriptures. Draw your encouragement and your strength in daily getting into God's Word. You've been given this great resource. Open it up. Read about the promises of God. Read about His faithfulness to His people. And be encouraged. Be strengthened. Be refreshed. And so Gideon leads us to our third point. The only proper response to God's goodness, to His providing for him, is worship. Verse 15. The only proper response is worship. As soon as Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, he worshiped. He praised God. Realizing the grace that God has given to him, a glimpse in the mind of the enemy, seeing what the Lord was doing without his knowledge, Gideon worships. His ways are not your ways. We should worship. The only proper response is worship. And just moving on quickly to our final point. Now that you've been, understand your weakness, you understand that you need the Word of God, the only proper response is to worship. Verses 16 through 25 tells us now to get yourself to work. Get yourself to work. Now with holy boldness, not self-confidence, put your hand to the plow and do what the Lord has commanded you. The spirit in the camp was one of defeat. They knew they were defeated. But conversely, for Gideon, he was invigorated for victory. Gideon says, follow me, do what I do. The timid man who hid himself in a wine press, tore down the family altars at night, now takes 300 men boldly into battle, armed with a jar, with a torch in it, and a horn. Jars, torches, and horns. All the more showing that God wasn't looking for skilled warriors. No offense to horn players. But really what he was looking for is a number to show his strength. People that would respond in faith. And with these torches concealed in pots and trumpets in their hands, people of God moved into position at the beginning of the middle watch, approximately 10 p.m. at night. And at the signal, they broke the pots, blew the trumpets, waved their torches, and screamed the battle cry, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. And panic ensues in the camp. The Midianites turn on themselves, presumably not knowing who the enemy was. And this great army fled in confusion. Gideon then calls the other soldiers, the other troops that were left behind, to chase after and gain the victory. What the Lord had done. Chapter 8 tells us 120,000 Midianites fell that day. God's promises are true. He promises victory over sin. So get to work, putting to death the old man through the power of the Holy Spirit. This congregation, just a few years ago, when we were looking at church hiving, planting over at Hope Community, in our statement we said, we hope that the Lord would raise up two or more congregations, asking God to multiply through our weakness. Sometimes we can become overly introspective. Yeah, we have good programs. The Lord is doing great things in our midst. But I ask you this morning to look outward. Look outward. See what God has for us. Yes, the numbers aren't in our favor. But truth be told, like the Midianite armies, often those outside of Christ are more scared and they're not as put together as you might think or perceive. People outside of Christ are reeling over life's circumstances, troubled in their families and their work. Those things which they find their identity don't satisfy. So people of God, I encourage you to go out perform the commission which God has placed on you, to go and make disciples of all nations. And as Peter and Paul said in their letters to their readers, be an example for others to follow. So same way Gideon here was an example. He said, follow me, do what I do. And as we go out, yes, we want to be careful. We want to use sound tactics, not to throw all caution into the wind. But we are to use God's appointed means to succeed in the mission in which He's called us. You know, as I used to teach military students, we're doing operations. You say, ask whatever you want for the mission. We'll see if we can supply it for you. And some of them would say, yeah, we want an AC-130 gunship, which is this big plane that flies around and shoots down big bullets. Really making it easy for them to complete their mission. Really, they didn't have to go and get engaged in the battle. Right? They were looking for more than what they needed to complete the task. We don't need celebrity pastors. We don't need 1,000-person congregation. We don't need millions of dollars in our bank accounts. The Lord has supplied us what we need. The Word of God. The Scriptures. To proclaim the truth of God. As Romans says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. So people of God, get to work. If God is for us, who then could be against us? So your weakness, understand your weakness. That should drive us to the Word of God for His promises and His commands, which leads us to a heartfelt worship for what God has done and what He will do. So now, get to work. An expectation and anticipation what God might do through us, His people. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the life of saints that have gone before us. How You've shown us how You have made us strong through our weakness. How You've saved us when we could not save ourselves. Lord, we thank You for what You've done for us, and we pray that You would be with us as we go out and endeavor to complete the task that You've set before us, to reach the nations with the gospel. It's in Jesus we pray. Amen. I encourage you to open up your Psalters to Psalm 147, Selection A.